In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, that as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the number 76, the spiritual formation. And we'll just read here. Keeping in mind that all has been said with regards to spiritual life, we limit ourselves here to presenting some practical means of formation. So again, we've gone through the spiritual and now the practical. Above all, it would be necessary to deepen the understanding of the principal aspects of priestly existence, especially referring to the biblical, patristic, and hagiographic teaching in which the priest must continually update himself, not only by reading good books, but by also participating in the course of studies, congresses, etc. So here, this is something that's amazing. The priests that I know that are reading Luisa, the Lord is inspiring them how to do things, the how, the how and the why they're called to live in the divine will. And this is, it's so exciting as we read, as we study, the Lord is always, a word will explode in our mind. He will say something, and all of a sudden we get this, it's like a divine inspiration of what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. And this is so powerful that each person who reads, especially the priests, you become happy, you become peaceful, joyful, you become, you want to dive deeper into this infinite ocean of love. So Jesus, going back to what the church is saying, specific sessions may be dedicated to the care exercised in the celebration of the sacraments, as well as to the study of questions of spirituality, such as Christian and human virtues, by way of praying, rapport between spiritual life and the liturgical ministry, pastoral ministry, etc. Particularly, it is hoped that each priest, perhaps during spiritual retreats, would develop a concrete plan of life. And this is what the divine will does. Everything changes for you when you begin to read. And it's really a concrete plan of life, possibly in agreement with his own spiritual director. So this is, again, essential. Saint Teresa said that if you direct yourself, you'll direct yourself into hell. And each one of us needs spiritual direction. A lot of times we think this is what God wants. And when we go that way, it's not what God wants. It's we think it is. I remember years ago when I was in college, I remember praying and, you know, going on retreat and, you know, basically hearing the Lord say, run. I mean, it wasn't the word run, but I'm just describing run. So from that moment on, I was running and running and running and running. And the Lord finally caught up and said, you're going the wrong way. So when the Lord tells us something, that's the first step. And sometimes it takes years to get to understand what that step is. And that's why waiting on the Lord is so important. That's why spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament is essential. If you don't spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, especially looking at Jesus in the Eucharist, looking at Jesus in the monstrance, you're not going to see, it's the fall in love with God to hear him more clearly, to hear what he's saying. And what he does, he doesn't tell you the whole plan. He tells you one step at a time. Okay, did you learn this? Okay, now take the next step. You know, did you learn this? Okay, now take the next. And he's always guiding, always leading, always directing. So, and this is what you discuss with your spiritual director. Spiritual direction isn't anyone telling anyone what to do. You must do this. You can't do that. You know, it's in the spiritual life, the spiritual director listens to what the soul is saying and reflects. Okay, are you saying dot, 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 dot? Are you referring to this? I mean, that's what St. Honorable de Francia would do with Luisa. I've heard people say, you know, in the writings of Louisa, say Annibale de Francia was correcting Louisa. He didn't correct Louisa. He would say to Louisa in writing on the sidelines, he would say, Louisa, does this refer to volume 3 where you said dot, 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 dot? Is this similar to this? This is the direction that God is going. And she would say, yes, this is what God wants. Or no, it was more on this point. And then he would say, okay, explain that point. You know, I because he really was so interested. He wanted to know. And it's the same thing with us. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, the Lord, we're in conversation with the Lord. He leads us. He guides us. He directs us. It's so amazing. So again, following the points may be indicated. Daily meditation on the word or a mystery of the faith, right? Basically in the book of heaven. So as you're reading, as you're studying, Jesus is going to bring about all that's in theology, and he's going to present it maybe with a word, maybe with a phrase. But what happens, he's opening the door to us to dig deeper into our dogma and doctrine. And our dogma and doctrine is it doesn't change, but it expands. It grows in the knowledge of it, what this is. That's why when you read about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you fall more in love with Jesus. When you read about the divine mercy, the heart of Jesus, these two rays of light, you know, coming out, you understand the heart of Jesus. Jesus tells Louisa in the divine will, he says that you're going to see 360 degrees of rays coming out from Jesus's heart. He says, when you see the Sacred Heart, there's flames on top. When you see the divine mercy, two rays are coming out. And Jesus says, when the divine will is known, we're going to see 360 degree rays all around his heart coming out and it's just transmuting everyone and everything. Our Lord is so beautiful, so holy, and we only know a sliver of this. So when we enter into the divine will, he keeps on expanding our understanding of who he is. As he says to Louisa, the thing that I want more than anything is to tell people who they are and who I am. So this desire of knowing God is so magnificent, and knowing who we are, it's so beautiful that your whole life changes. So what does he show? He shows that we are nothing. We are dust. And yet he's breathing into us that Ruah of God, that breath of God, as God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust because of the breath of God is the image and likeness of God. So as we are baptized Catholics, we enter into God's image. And now with this gift of the divine will, we're entering into God's likeness. That means to do what God does. The likeness. A carpenter, a sculptor, you know, you start out learning from the masters how to, you know, carve, how to, you know, cut wood, how to chisel wood. If you're chiseling wood and you're not doing it the right way, you make a split and it's ruined. You have to learn where to chisel, how to chisel. So the master teaches you this, and this is what Jesus is doing. He is our master. He is our king. He is our God. And he's saying, I want to teach you how to become more like me. This is why he said, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. So it's not about, you know, anything that we think of. It's everything that God thinks of. So this is what he does. It says, a daily personal encounter with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. So first of all, you know, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. We pray the Mass one with God. We pray the Mass one with Jesus. We pray the Mass with the Blessed Mother. She's there. She's always there. We want to enter into this gift so that by giving it to the laity, they'll be able to possess it and love it. So what's coming now to the church in the United States is the 3 years of Eucharistic adoration. Every parish will have Eucharistic adoration sometime during the year. What we should do is follow or seek Jesus, go to every parish we can. You know how I forgot the day. Oh dear. But you would go from parish to parish to parish. By doing that, this is to see, you're seeking the Lord. The Lord loves it when you do this. You're looking for him. You're desiring him. You're longing for him. And so with right now with the Eucharist, you know, it's not in many churches. And, you know, I thank God for, Peter putting this on with, adoration, Eucharistic adoration. God has given it to us for anybody who has the internet. It's like a spiritual communion. We are with Jesus. We are seeing Jesus. We're adoring Jesus. We're praising Jesus. We're loving Jesus. We're glorifying Jesus. We enter into this real worship of God. And that's why we have to make that part of our life. So this is like a daily personal encounter with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It should be at least an hour of adoration to adore God and to fall in love with God. Again, it's not a place for reading. It's a place for falling in love. Marian devotion, rosary consecration, and offerings intimate conversations, periods of doctrinal formation, do rest. Again, to have a good spiritual life, you must eat properly, sleep properly, and exercise properly. If you do this, you could have a good spiritual life. Renewed effort to put into practice the indications of the bishop to verify his convictions of adherence to the magisterium and to ecclesiastical discipline, care for his communion and friendship with other priests. So again, this is essential for the priesthood. It should be the brotherhood of priesthood. There should be priests understand priests. Laity don't understand priests. A lot of times laity get close to priests, but a lay person doesn't understand priesthood. Priests understand priesthood, and this is why priests need priests to be with. And it should be a brotherhood, because the evil one doesn't want anyone happy. And he's a miserable individual who a liar and as Jesus said, a murderer from the beginning. So he's going to always be trying to cause division. And our job is to, as priests, is to develop that brotherhood of priesthood. So intellectual formation, number 77, considering the enormous influence which humanistic and philosophical trends have on modern culture, as well as the fact that some priests have not received an adequate preparation in such disciplines, and also because they come from different scholarly backgrounds, it is necessary that these meetings deal with the more relevant humanistic philosophical themes of those that are linked to sacred sciences. See, that's what Jesus says. He says to Louisa, the sacred sciences are coming back. And as you enter into this, he says, these secrets, these treasures of heaven, Jesus is going to explain further. That's why when you read the book of heaven, it's almost, you almost have to fall in love more and more with God. You almost have to fall in love with the Blessed Mother, the angels and the saints, our dogma and our doctrine. These sacred sciences are, Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to bring them alive, particularly insofar as they befit the exercise of pastoral ministry. Such themes also constitute a valid error in order to deal correctly with the principal arguments of fundamental dogmatic and moral theology, of sacramental scripture, of sacred scripture, of liturgy, of canon law, and of ecumenism, bearing in mind that the teachings of these matters should not be simply problematic, informative, or theoretical, but must lead to an authentic formation toward prayer, communion, and pastoral action. So again, going back to the Book of Heaven, as you read this, all that was just said begins to come alive in the priest. Things should be done in such a way that during priestly encounters, the documents of the Magisterium may be studied together in a profound manner under an authoritative guide so that the unity of the interpretation and practice so useful in the work of evangelization may be facilitated in pastoral work of the diocese. Particular importance in intellectual formation must be given to the handling of themes which today have more relevance in cultural debates and pastoral practices, such as for example, those related to social ethics, bioethics, etc. A special treatment must be reserved to the questions posed by scientific advances, which are especially influential to the mentality of contemporary man. A lot of things are going to change. With that line there, we're going to see in over the next few years great understandings of what is really going on. And the priest has to be knowledgeable of this to help the people. So the priest must be up to date and prepared to respond to questions that science may pose in its advancement. They should not fail to consult well-grounded and sound experts. It is of the greatest interest that social doctrine of the church be studied, deepened, and disseminated. The interests of priests who are in favor of the needy and of all the faithful through them must not remain as mere desires, but be converted into specific efforts, always following the impulse of the magisterial teachings. Today, more than ever, the church is aware that her social message must find credibility in the first of all in her internal coherence and logic. An indispensable demand for intellectual formation of priests is the knowledge of the use of these means. If well used, constitute a providential instrument of evangelization capable of reaching not only great masses of faithful, but also of leaving the mark of their minds and behavior. In this regard, it should be opportune that the bishop or the Episcopal Conference itself prepare programs and technical instruments appropriate for this goal. In conclusion, the master of the harvest, who calls and sends workers to work in his field, has promised with eternal faithfulness, this is what God is saying to all of humanity, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. At times, it's Ezekiel 34, where the shepherds have fleeced the flock, taken the flock as their own. And Jesus says, this is going to stop. He says he's in charge, and he's going to make sure that the sheep are shepherded. And he says, I am going to do that. That's what the priests are going to discover when they begin to read, study, put into practice the Book of Heaven. It's Jesus who's doing this. The amount of miracles that are going to come through the priesthood are going to astonish the world. This isn't supposed to be 2,000 years ago. The miracles that are coming are so powerful. They're going to be so magnificent that everyone is going to say, how do I become Catholic? And the answer will be, you have to be baptized. And everyone will say, let me be baptized. See, everyone's going to become Catholic. There's not going to be many denominations. Jesus tells us to Louisa, he says that what he produced, what he breathed into Adam, was the Catholic universal life. When Adam went his own way for 4,000 years, mankind was wandering in the desert, basically. When Jesus came and Mary came, they brought back the Catholic life, the universal life. And now Jesus says what he is doing with the divine will, he's going to crown his church with this gift of the divine will. What does that mean? The crowning, if you want to say, is the wedding feast. The groom crowns his wife as queen. See, Jesus says, everything's ready. We have the full deposit of faith. Now he's going to expand it so that we understand clearly what God has taught us over the last 2,000 years through the saints by doing the will of God. Now he's going to teach us how to live in the will of God. And what does that mean? That means going back to where Adam was before the fall. to begin to live this abundant life. This is really a glorious time to be alive. Yes, there's going to be difficulties. It's going to get challenging. But the Lord says, when you enter into this gift, you really begin to trust God so much that in all situations, it's via. In all situations, yes, Lord, I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And this, what did he say to St. Faustina? The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. And we have to understand the time we're living in. And if we really look at what the saints, the mystics, what Our Lady has said over the years, that's where we are, right there at that point. And it's nothing to be afraid of. We have been called by God to live at this time. And we were born for this time. We're not afraid, and God is with us. We want to echo what the saints have said. But more than that, we want now to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So this is great. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to read, to study, to put this into practice. So Jesus says in volume 20, 11, 6, 1926, "And once I, Jesus, have completed everything, I will entrust my kingdom to my priests." Do you see? It's not, see, the priests are what Jesus wanted from the beginning. And, you know, it's the priest's role to feed the flock. It's not the sheep's role to feed the flock. It's there has to be some humility. And that humility is saying, "Father," I mean, this one of the things that's really important is, "Father, could I have your blessing?" To say to the priest, "I can't get any blessing, but you, Father, have the blessing of Jesus. I want Jesus's blessing." And when you ask for the blessing, great things happen. Now, first of all, it makes the priest understand a little bit more each time his role as father. See, the father of the family blesses the children. The father of the family leads the family in prayer. The father of the family, it blesses the grandchildren. It's his job to give the faith to his children. I mean, it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. People have forgotten the power of the father in the home. They have forgotten the power of the father in heaven. They've forgotten the power of the father in the parish. The parish, that's why I don't have it in front of me, but the Roman ritual, when you open this book, it's 1964, I think it was Sheed, 1964. What does it have? It has all the blessings, and they're fun. How God gives the power to bless food. I mean, when you bless food, I mean, you should, every father should bless the food before they eat, say the prayer and do the blessing. You want to make sure that God is the Lord of the house, and the father of the family leads in prayer. The father of the family leads in prayer, all except for if you're doing the Seder supper. The mother of the house lights the candle. The mother of the house lights the candle. Again, the father leads the prayer. The father gives the blessing. A good friend of mine, he was the chief of police, and he was having trouble in his family. And I told him his job, as chief of police, was to make sure his family has the faith. By being faithful to God and the church, that was his job. And he had a rough few years, but being faithful, his family went back to church. And it's not by yelling or screaming. It's by saying, "This is important to me. This is my faith. And I want to pass on to you my faith." what I believe. I want you to have it. I want you to build on this so that you can give more to your children, even more to your grandchildren. This is what God is asking of just the father of the family. How much more is God asking for the father of the parish? It's his job to bring the people, to feed the people. And that's why when you read the third appeal, Louisa said to the priests, she said, you priests are giving a hard and stale bread that people can't digest. She said, read the Book of Heaven and you will give to the people a tasty bread, a edible bread that will nurture them, and they will become strong, and they will understand what you're saying, and you could lead them and guide them. So the Book of Heaven, as it goes back here to what a priest should be reading and focusing on, the holy books, I mean, saintly books. I mean, I've got a library filled of saintly books. They're great. They're wonderful, but they can't compare to the Book of Heaven. You look at John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Catherine of Siena, great mystics of the church. They're beautiful. But what Jesus says to Louisa, it goes way beyond what he said to the saints. And he says this. He says, I have never spoken to anyone about this before. What I'm going to give to you is going to change the face of the earth. He says, when the writings of Louisa come out to the world is going to be set on fire. Now, I was just listening to a man talking about China. And there are, 200 million Catholics in China. That was years ago. And, you know, they have been forbidden to really focus on Jesus and Mary. But Louisa, oh, it's okay. It's just a human. Doesn't matter. So the Dawn of a Mystery, the DVD of all 36 volumes in Italian were given to the seminarians years ago in China. And I know underground, that place is on fire. Catholic. Look at Putin today. Catholic. This is everything's going to be brought to under the protection of God. This is not bad. What's happening? What's happening is everything's turning over to the Lord, and the Lord is saying, "Who's with me?" And you could hear Putin say that basically today. That was an amazing thing that he said. And then you look at China, 200 million reading Louisa. Can you imagine what's happening there? And since they can't go public, see, Jesus said that to Louisa. He said, Louisa, one day you will not be able to go to Holy Mass. And Louisa lamented and said to Jesus, what am I going to do? The Eucharist is my life. And Jesus said, yes. He says, but what's more important? To receive me in the Holy Eucharist for 15 minutes until the host dissolves in a mystical way, or to receive me in a real way, he says, that is perennial, never ends. And she said, well, the one that never ends. He says, yes, that's the divine will. When things happen, God is in charge. We have to remember that our Lord is in charge. He knows what is going on. He has plans that are going to astonish the world. And it's all Catholic. It's all universal. And what he's done for us is he's given us the book. And this is why it's so amazing to read. Once I have completed everything, I will entrust my kingdom to my priests so that, like a second apostles of the kingdom of my divine will, they may be criers of it, proclaimers of it, trumpeters of this. This is the trumpet, the shofar is blown. Why? To tell the people to get ready, to tell the people, come together to pray, come together. And this is what's happening. A new beginning for humanity. I remember meeting Cardinal Ratzinger in 19, no, Cardinal Ratzinger. Anyway, I met him. Cardinal, oh, I'm telling you, it's tough getting old. I can't remember. I called my mother, Mom. I forgot her name. Cardinal Sunens. I met Cardinal Sunens in 1975 in Rome. And he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm a seminarian." And he says, "The spring," he said, "spring is near. Spring is near. This new and divine way of holiness is coming. A new beginning is happening for humanity. And our God wants us to know, yes, it's going to be bumpy. It's going to be uncomfortable, like a woman in labor. The pains are more intense and more frequent, but the kingdom is coming. That baby is coming. The kingdom is coming." And this is why, listen to what he says. "Once I have completed everything with you, Louisa," this is the 36 volumes, he says, "then I will entrust my kingdom to my priests. You will give this to my priests, who will give it to the church, and the kingdom will be established." This is what God has planned. The priesthood is so amazing. It's so amazing. That as what he's going to do, he said, Jesus said, "I'm going to bring the kingdom, bring the priesthood to what I wanted it to be from the beginning. I'm going to bring the priesthood to this." So what's happening today is Jesus says, "I must purify the church, the priesthood, and so I must purify the world, because this gift is so beautiful that the world is not ready for this." So all that's coming is going to be magnificent. So volume 23, 118, 1928. "I enjoy," this is Jesus, "in seeing the interest that priests take in these writings." This delights Jesus, finding priests that want to read the divine will. He says, "I enjoy seeing the interest that priests take in these writings that will form the kingdom of divine will." Where? First in the priesthood. This means that they appreciate the great good of these writings, and each one would want to keep such a great treasure with himself to be the first to communicate it to others. I listened to a priest today on the internet. He was just introduced to the divine will, and he basically said, "What we're doing is great. What's coming is even greater." And he said, "It's the divine will." And he said, it's all about Louisa Picaretta, what God told her. What by speaking these words to Louisa, she was transmuted. She was the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. When we read, she wrote, we/read. When I see writing in the book, Jesus is saying, "Are you reading what she was writing?" I mean, it's this competition that God wants with us. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, the world is changing. Each word that we read is a divine life that Jesus breathes into us. That's why he says very, very clearly, as he said, this means, okay, take these writers will form the kingdom of God within them. Okay. "I enjoy seeing the interest of the priests that take these writings that will form the kingdom of my divine will in them and in the people." See, the priest's job isn't just to be a social worker. The priest's job isn't just to say mass, hear confession, and have the people out of the church. No, he is to bring life. He is to do the blessings. The church is supposed to be fruitful and multiply. It's like a farmer, the farmer tills the soil. Why? So that he could put the seed in and then everything's growing. It's harvest time. Everything's been growing. And now Jesus says, "Now I'm going to magnify what I have done for the last 2,000 years. It's a new beginning for humanity. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. We get glimpses of it when we read the book of heaven. And Jesus will show you things, and you'll be really excited about it as you're reading, and you'll say, "This is wonderful." And then you'll say, "I got to tell somebody about this," and you forget it. Why? Because I really believe, since there's no time or space in the divine will, that Jesus takes us to heaven. See, we're supposed to go to heaven. That's our home. And we go to heaven and he explains everything to us. In that instant, he gives us a divine anesthesia. We're back home, back here, and we're happy, but we don't remember why. And the Lord is doing this little by little to every person that reads. You become so excited and then you want to remember it and you go, I can't remember. But it's nothing to be upset about. Jesus is in charge and he will reveal to you what you need to know at that time. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will lead you. It's nothing to just keep on reading. That's the main thing. Read, study, put this into practice. Let Jesus, really, as he said, what did he say? He says, I want these priests to be like second apostles. What did the apostles have that we don't have? They were with Jesus, our Savior. They were with him, hanging on to his words as he spoke. They saw him. They heard him. They were comforted by him, our Lord God, Savior, and Master. That's what happens little by little by little as you read. As you read the book of heaven, everything that you loved on earth disappears. Everything that you love of heaven becomes alive. It's to begin to live this true life of Jesus and marry the new Adam and the new Eve. That's what they breathed into Louisa. But you see where it started for us understanding this is through their suffering. Through their suffering. So what God does is he gives us suffering to go through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering. And it's not to complain. It's to, first of all, thank you, Jesus, for this gift. Suffering is a gift. And I want to embrace this. I want to embrace this so that this fruit of this fruitfulness that you want exploding, is manifesting itself. So this is what Jesus is doing. So he says very clearly, as soon as I find where I am, and while the issue of who is going to win lasts, one approaches the other in order to consult one another on what to do. Okay. So here it is. The priests want to keep this treasure for himself, to be first to communicate it to others. And while the issue of who is going to win lasts, one approaches the other. And he says this, in order to consult one another what to do, and I, God, enjoy that more of my priests get to know that there is this treasure that is so great of making known the kingdom of my divine will, that I, God, will use this to form the first priests of my coming kingdom of my fiat. Until the kingdom here, we're all the first priests. Father Bucci was a first priest. Father Inibale, St. Honorable de Francia was a first priest. A number of priests who are basically canonized and new Louis, even St. Pius X. When St. Honorable de Francia read the hours of passion to the Holy Father said, we must kneel. Jesus is speaking to us. He could, being who he was, he realized how precious these words are. Again, a good friend of mine who's has a doctorate in philosophy, a couple of them, when I showed him the writings, he read it and he goes, no human wrote this. I said, well, who wrote it then? He said, God wrote it. I said, you're right. it's Jesus dictated this to Louisa. And as we read this, he's sharing with us this divinity. He's sharing with us his divinity. So going back to this, on this divine faithfulness that is always alive and operates in the church, rests the hope of receiving abundant and holy vocations to the priesthood. Wait till you see. There's not going to be a shortage of priests. Moreover, it has already been proven in many countries that the Lord will not deny his church the necessary light to comfort the fascinating adventure of casting the net into the sea. If you listen, the Holy Father has a record, and in that, he says, cast your net into the sea. This is what he says to priests. This is what he says to the bishops. I want you to cast your net into the sea to bring this harvest of souls. There's nothing to worry about. God is in charge. He loves his children, and he wants his children to enter into this universal life, this Catholic life. He's giving the priests the opportunity to be fishermen, be fishers of men, to bring to the Lord this abundant harvest. God is doing this. So he says this. He says, the church responds to the gift of God with acts of thanksgiving, fidelity, docility to the Holy Spirit, and a humble and persevering prayer. We are going to learn how to pray the rounds of creation, rounds of redemption. That's what sanctification is. It's to pray the prayers of Jesus and Mary. It's to pray the prayers of Adam before the fall. It's to pray prayers of the saints in heaven, adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. This is a glorious time to be alive. And it's a short period of time that we have. There's a lot that's coming, and we can't close our eyes to what's happening. It's like being on a roller coaster and closing your eyes. You know, it's like in really getting to enjoy these dips, these rolls that we're going to be going through. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be, we're with Jesus. We're with Mary. We're with Louisa, the newborn. Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, Theotokos, and Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn in the divine will. And Jesus is saying to us, I want to breathe into you. Every word that I speak is a divine life. I want to breathe this into you. Why? So that you can begin to live this abundant life. Get ready. Don't put anything off. Don't waste your time. Jesus says, don't lose a moment. The sooner you can get into this, the happier you're going to be. Now, those are the words of Jesus. He doesn't want us to waste time. So he says, in order to perform his apostolic mission, each priest will bear engraved on his own heart the words of the Lord. Father, I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work which you have given to me to give eternal life to men, to give eternal life to humanity. This is the priest's job. Jesus says to Louisa, he says that the priest, I could give no greater job to a human than to be a priest leading the people to the kingdom. That's our job. That's what Christ has asked us to do. And he's really anxious to see what we're going to do. He's really anxious to see how much we want to dive into this infinite ocean of love, this infinite ocean of light, this infinite ocean of life. He wants us to dive into this and to drown, he says. I want you never to leave. I want you to always participate in this life of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Again, great things are right around the corner. God is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this. Don't waste a moment. Don't waste your life on sports. Don't waste your life on finances. Don't waste your life on any. Seek Jesus, especially in the book of heaven, and everything will be given to you. Those are the words of Jesus to Louisa. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.